could be having a conflict here before we ever get started.
Well, let me just say it's good to be home. Old Claude Kicker from Illinois comes to New York City in 2000. Little did we realize what the Lord had in store for us. Little. I'm also kind of mindful of Psalm 46:1, where it says, you know, the Lord is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. That hour is very comforting because I don't have a corner on the market. The Ralstons don't have a corner on the market. He's our refuge and strength, and he's present. And wow. Turn to Psalms 37 here. Let's just look at a couple of verses tonight, and then we just want to brag on the Lord a little bit with you. And Psalm 37, sure is good to be here tonight. I tell you, we have thought many times sitting around the house having church at home how much we miss this place. For those of you that think there's better places out there, there are very few places out there that have a church like this. Very few. Many of them are whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. That's the honest to God's truth of it. Colorado Springs has more churches per capita than any other city in the United States. And it's just as dead as it can be, and it's just as steeped in religion. And I don't care, you pick the flavor, and it's just thick with it. Yeah. Okay, there we go. But look here in Psalm 37, verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And you know, sometimes you don't even know what to do to approach the Lord on these things. You just want to put one foot in front of the other. You want to try to be like the brother over here, just try to be a good testimony to your coworkers, to the people you do business with, to the people you work with, to the lady in the grocery store and the person in the gas station, and just the day-to-day stuff. I mean, we keep waiting for this big event. Sometimes the big event is just the day-to-day stuff. That is the big event. Verse 5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patient for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any way to do evil." And it just goes on to talk about the fact that first it says, verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord, right? And then it says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. And then verse 6 says, and he shall bring forth righteousness as light and thy judgment as the noonday. We are sure going to need the Lord down there in the Poconos. We are sure going to need help from above. And if I haven't been impressed with anything else over the last 6 months since we told Pastor Veach that we'd be happy to come down here and try to help these folks with the minister of the Word of God and just try to be a blessing to them. But we know that we need him. That's the big lesson we got out of this deal. That's the big lesson we got out of the last 3.5 years is, boy, do we need the Lord. And the second big lesson we got is, boy, is he able. You know, 28 years of public service, and a paycheck rolls in every 2 weeks, and you move when you're told to move, and you live where you're told to live. And you think that you understand this passage of Scripture in here, but we didn't, did we? We didn't get it. We didn't have a clue what it was really like to trust the Lord until I went in one day and I said, we're going out to the Poconos. They've asked me to come out there, and so by God's grace, we're going to go. And my boss said, you did what? He said, this is a great job. I said, yes, sir, it's a great job. And it's a right cause. But the Lord would like to have us go out to the Poconos. And he goes, well, if that's what you think you need to do, to be happy. I mean, you know, he's just trying to think through the world, thinks, and just, that's what you need to do to be happy. We're all for it. And at the same time, there was another issue about leaving. In my particular position, I couldn't just leave when I wanted to. They had to have an overlap. And so what the Lord did is he orchestrated a young man from the Naval Academy who came out. And it was a brand new billet. The billet didn't exist when I got there. It didn't even exist when I retired from the military and went into the job. But this young, by our standards anyway, young Naval Academy graduate had played football in the Naval Academy, just nicest guys from Wayne, New Jersey. And man, from the moment he came into the job, we just hit it off. He was just like a sponge. He wanted to know everything I knew, and somehow or another the Lord had gotten me enough knowledge to be able to pass down to him what he needed to know so that my boss and my boss's boss and the admiral would say, yeah, you can go. I didn't realize that when I took the job on, that I couldn't just quit when I wanted to. But the Lord did. And so here's this young, bright guy. Just bright. Scary how bright some of these young people are that work out at Northcom. And he soaked it up. And finally he came to us one day and he said, Dan, it's time for you to go. I got it. I got it. I know what to do. Now I got it. So that was a big hurdle. And then there was the issue of selling the house. We lived 40 miles outside of Colorado Springs. Houses in Colorado Springs right now, our realtor told us that the nicest house that she has on the market right now has had one showing in the last year. We had almost 30 showings in 2 months.
Amen.
Now that's your God. That's our God. A very present help in trouble. And so for the very first time, we started to have to trust the Lord. And we didn't even know that we didn't really trust Him. Because we'd never been out at a limb like that before. And what really helped us, they said, and do good. There in verse 3. You know, when I went out there, it was just one day out there with the folks in the Poconos. But when I came back, Elise and I began to weep one night about how they couldn't last forever out there without a pastor. Now, it didn't have to be me, and if it wasn't supposed to be me, that's fine with me. But they needed somebody out there. And I'm telling you, I have learned an important lesson, because when I left here, I thought after finishing the Bible Institute that I had a pretty good handle on some things. But there sure is a whole lot more to pastoring than Sunday morning messages and Wednesday night Bible studies. And so the Lord kind of showed us some things about praying over people that some of them I still haven't met, but praying over people. And I remember when we went to Ireland, and I remember thinking about, boy, what a place that needs Jesus Christ. But, you know, we felt the same way about the Poconos, and still do. And for those of you that don't know it, we, after 22 years of marriage, we were at Elise's dream. Where we lived, the part of the country we lived in, the house we lived in, the view of Pike's Peak that we looked at every day, all of that was really her dream. And she had waited 22 years for it. And I remember when we first got there, and we were passing by, there was a little, Divide has a little cemetery. And it's a small little town, so if you live there for 10 years in Divide, your plot's free. That's how small a town. I mean, this is old stuff. This stuff goes all the way back to the colonial times, that kind of thinking. And Elise looked at me and she said, this is my last stop right here. In other words, I'm tired of moving. I don't want to move anymore. But when I came back from preaching out here in July, it was right after the 4th of July weekend. It was Sunday after the 4th of July weekend. Elise and I sat down with the realtor and we talked to her and we looked at each other at the same time and we said, we've got to put the place on the market now. We can't wait until spring. We wanted to wait until spring so we'd have enough money saved up so we could buy another house when we got out to the Poconos. And we just looked at each other and said, we can't wait. We'll put it on now. And the realtor told us, $235,000, that's what you want to ask for the house, and maybe by
June or July of next year, it'll be sold. Well, we got $242,600 out of it, which meant we paid off all of our home improvement. And it sold in what, 7 weeks? 7-8 weeks, something like that. And then, you know, you jump up and down, and then you're just like Israel. You have one of those moments where you're praising the Lord and everybody's singing and they're praising the Lord. And then the people that were going to buy the place came back and they had $23,000 worth of improvements they wanted to the house. I didn't know there was $23,000 worth of improvements left to be done to the house because we worked hard on the place. And on the Thursday before the Saturday that we left, they came back and said they would settle for, I think it was around $8,000, $8,500, something like that. So we went from $23,000 to $8,500 worth of things they wanted to do on the house, or they weren't going to buy it. They were going to walk away. They'd just shoe craps on the $2,500 they put in earnest and walk away from it. And that was just prayer. I think we have probably seen prayer more in the last 6 months, and I've been saved since 1992, and Elise has been saved since 1992. I think we've seen prayer move people to do things that you just would never guess they want to do. My boss pulled me into, well, not my direct boss, but the Air Force colonel that I worked for pulled me into her office 2 days before I left, and she gave me her card, and she said, at least send me a Christmas card. We're really going to miss you around here. Now, you all know me, so you know that's a hoot. That's just the Lord. It is now. Come on. Come on. There's a little humor here tonight. I mean, I'd cry if I really let you know how I really feel about everything the Lord has done for us, and none of us need that right after dinner. So, you know, I have just seen the Lord work, and it's just an amazing thing. And I've listened to missionaries come up here and tell their stories, and I thought, wow, that would really be something to see. But in the last 6 months, we've seen some things. I started to talk about how Elise, you know, she was where she wanted to be. And she's tagged around with me for 22 years. And she's tired of moving. We had to get the house ready. She still had to homeschool. The kids would homeschool and get it done as fast as they could. And then they'd work until 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, trying to get things done that had to be done on the house that we couldn't afford to have somebody do. And they had to be done before we could even get it on the market. And so, and at 30 showings in 2 months, I got the news for you. We didn't have much time, did we? We left the house. When you're going to show a house, I don't know how many of you have gone through the fun of this thing, but you got to, because our house in L.A. sold in a week. It's a hot market back there in 2000, and it sold in a week. They weren't arguing over anything. They didn't give us a list of things they wanted fixed. They just wanted the house. Today, it's not that way. It's usually a certain price with a certain number of things fixed, or they walk. And so Elise and the kids worked really, really hard, and one day we had some things that we just couldn't fix. We didn't have the tools for it. I certainly, don't get me around power tools. It's not good. I won't even go down that road. But it was amazing. She was in the grocery store. She says hi to a guy that we had known when we first got out there. And we told him what we were trying to do. And he came out to the house and he looked at it. And he said, I can do this and I can do this and this and this and this. And it was a pretty good list of things that we had to get done. You know, that guy worked till what? 1 o'clock in the morning one night. On his own time. Didn't charge us a dime for his time. Just the material. That's all he asked for. You just buy the material, and I'll do the work. And none of the stuff that he did we get any discrepancies or hits on. And we started getting paranoid after a while because we didn't know there was that many things that could be wrong with a house because we just bought it 3 years ago. But in Colorado, there's some laws, and in Colorado, there are certain things that you have that if they're not up to code when you get ready to sell it, even though they were at code when you bought it, you got to fix it. And for us, it was $23,000 worth of stuff, which would have put us in the hole by about $8,000 or $9,000. And so what happens? This guy shows up and he starts doing work. And then we were a little heavy on our load. When we came out there, we'd accumulated a few more things since we'd gotten out there 3 years ago.
So we asked this guy, we said, well, do you know anybody that could use some mattresses and some of the things that just, they don't move well in the first place. And ours were pretty well done. And one night, we didn't have any living room furniture. We didn't have any mattresses. And I don't remember what else they took, but man, it's just a bunch of stuff that we could not have moved because the government was moving us. There's a ceiling on how much they'll move. And we were at it, and we had to get below it because it's expensive if you go over it. And so in one night, the Lord took care of that whole problem. And you say, well, most people would look and say, well, I don't want to give up this, and I want to give up that. We were trying to get rid of stuff so that we could move and get out here on the government's dime. That's a whole other thing. I didn't do the paperwork right because I thought we were going to stay in Colorado when I retired. So I went in and I checked with them and I saw what I have to do, and people helped me out and they got the paperwork redone so that we could get the Coast Guard to pay for the move. That same move would have cost us almost $40,000. Moving is not cheap these days. And so the Coast Guard, on my retirement orders that got amended, paid for our move to come out to the Poconos. I mean, I could go on for a long. I've heard missionaries come up here and talk about that stuff, and I just said, man, I want that kind of life. I want that kind of Christian life. I want to see the Lord move in our lives because we're doing things, you know, that would provoke Him to want to move in our lives. And I've just learned sometimes, you know, sometimes we need to just stay where we are because I'm telling you, this was the very first move that we made where we didn't know when we went out there where we were going to go to church. Because Pastor remembers, I had a lengthy conversation with Pastor and he used a lot of grace, but my fear wasn't that you guys weren't a good enough church. My fear was that I'd go out there and it wouldn't be a Bible-believing work in New York City. And he calmed all those fears. And boy, I got excited when I came because I was going to be able to go to Bible Institute and all that stuff. We went out to a place, more churches per capita than any place else in the United States, and there was nothing out there that you would really call a Bible-believing work. And what people think is Bible-believing, how many of you know what a Baptist brighter is? You can trip over them out there. They're everywhere. And the pastor of the first church we went to kind of took a liking to us, and so he asked me, when he had this baptism thing, he asked me if I'd help him with it. And I said, sure, I'll be glad to help you with it. Just the people in the back room and help him get ready. So, and the guy makes a comment to me. He says, "Why? I got baptized once, but now I really want to get baptized. And I really, very close to Campbellism, really, Baptist Brighters are. They really tie this baptism thing into salvation. And it's something you do because you're saved, not to get saved. But I'm sitting here just dumbfounded. This guy's already saved and he's baptized and we're baptizing him again. And I'm sitting there just going, what is up with this? And these people are just as sincere about their religion as anybody can be about their religion. And they're just as unbiblical about their religion as anybody can be about their religion. So there we are. We're out there and we've got our home and it's a beautiful place and a beautiful view and a beautiful neighbor. Just a nice thing. And we're just about as unhappy as we've ever been in our Christian lives because there's no place to go to church. And then Pastor Beach called and he said, would you be interested in considering this thing? And I thought, I don't know. I've always taken David's advice when he went down to the cave and he just held fast when he wasn't sure what to do and prayed. So I held fast and prayed and I went to the pastor of the church that we were attending at the time, and I said, I really need you to pray about this. My personal conviction is that men should be sent out of a local New Testament church. We got a lot of people out there today running around calling themselves into the ministry. And they're not going through the local New Testament church. The local New Testament church is just a name. It's a sending church, and all it is just a sending church. It's a name on a postcard that you put on your refrigerator. And I didn't want that to be the way it was. I wasn't going to drag my family knowing that they were happy. Even though we didn't have a church, they were where they wanted to be and they didn't want to move anymore. I sure didn't want to drag them all the way across country if it wasn't of the Lord. And so I asked him to pray, and the next thing you know, it was kind of one of those situations like how God had to harden Pharaoh's heart to get to get Israel out of Egypt. It's the only thing I can really akin it to, and it's an experience I hope I never have again in Christian circles. Hope I never experience it again. But I remember I told him this, the first words out of his mouth was, well, I knew this day was going to happen, and what about your wife? And all the things that you'd think of to talk yourself out of going. And this guy's supposed to be helping me, and he's trying to talk me out of going. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited, a couple months, didn't it? And finally, pastor called me, and he said, what do you think about this? And I said, pastor, you know, just about everything that could go wrong has gone wrong out here. And I said, I really am not sure that I would be the person for you. And I said, even if we said yes, and even if the church wanted us to be their pastor, and if you could work all this other stuff out, and I went through the list of things, I said, I'm just not sure that I would be what you'd want out there. But little by little, we took the step of faith to go. Lee said, what can it hurt to go? Just go. Just go out there. I mean, how are you supposed to know what the Lord would have you do if you're just standing still? I mean, a ship cannot move without wind, right? It is not going to go anywhere. And so the opportunity had presented itself, and Elise and the kids were really, I was really holding back, and they were really saying, what could it hurt? I'm talking to Ian. We're driving back from the Springs one night, and I say, Ian, what do you think about us moving out to Pennsylvania maybe? What would you think about that? And he goes, well, Dad, there's no spiritual advantage to staying here. So I'm kind of trying to drive, and I'm here, take this. I thought, you know, Ian, you're right. There is no spiritual. It was beautiful. It's hard to go to a place that's really pretty, because if there's no spiritual advantage, you can talk your way out of the rest of it. And guilty, all right? And it wasn't that we wouldn't want to go anywhere. I didn't really care. It's just that at that time, I just said, you know, Lord, we'll just hold fast here. But Elise and the kids talked me into going. And I went out and we preached, and the time I had here was sweet, and I got to see some of the brethren out here, and it was encouraging, really encouraging. After a very discouraging almost three years at that point, of no real Christianity out there, no opportunity to start it because I was working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. And all of a sudden this thing came up, and I thought, wow. I thought through my mind all the times, and I remember when I got saved, I asked the Lord to save me, and I said, now, Lord, you use me any way you want to. Because I was just at that point in my life. But you know, as the years go by, you kind of fade from that position. And you may not even realize it, but I wanted to show you something back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that I showed the church out there, and I showed the pastor when I came home that night. And it was exciting to me. You know, as long as you can continue to be in a position where the Lord can speak to your heart, and even when you're wrong, you're happy that He pointed it out to you, you can survive a lot of stuff. But now, look at 1 Corinthians 16, beginning in verse 9. It says, 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have a convenient time. And I read that verse so many times since then, but I read that verse and I just heard this little voice in my mind going, that's you. It's not convenient right now, so you don't want to do it. And the Lord really smote my heart, especially on the Sunday morning when I got the chance to preach the message. And You said you'd do anything that I ask you to do. Just use me any way you said. Isn't that what you said? I said, yes, Lord, that's what I said. He said, well, now, here's an open door. And it won't come without adversaries, but here's an open door. Well, what are you going to do? You know, because we really, it's a kind of like a toggle switch, Christianity is. You will or you won't. And every step along the way in the juncture, you will or you won't. You'll serve him or you won't. You'll open your mouth for him or you won't. You'll jump in with both feet or you won't. You'll stay faithful or you won't. You'll put away your bad habits or you won't. You know? You'll have a testimony or you won't. You'll give up the things you want to do or you won't. I mean, it's really a simple little thing in there. It's almost like a computer. Except that we control the switch. And it's a yes or no. Almost everything in our Christian lives is yes or no. Will or you won't. And so I read that passage, and then I looked back and I looked up some other passages. Apollos is said by the Holy Spirit of God to have been an eloquent man and knowledgeable in the Scriptures. He was not Timothy. Nothing in the Bible says that Timothy was an eloquent man. So I thought, wow. You mean if I don't go, somebody else is going to go? Yes. So are you going to go or are you not going to go? I'm going to go. The pastor said, did the Lord speak to your heart? And I thought to myself, if I told you what the Lord spoke to my heart about and how he went about it, Pastor, you wouldn't believe it. I'd be ashamed to tell you. But the honest to goodness truth of the matter, Pastor, is I can't think of a reason to say no. It wasn't like lightning from heaven, and it wasn't God called me to do this great thing or that great thing or this little thing or that little thing. It was just a yes or a no. Will you or won't you? And then I read on about that thing, and you know, Timothy, there's a lot said about Timothy and very little said about Apollos. And I really would like to get to the judgment seat of Christ and have some of my life show for something. I didn't get saved till I was 37. So I'm already halfway done with life, let alone adulthood or any of that. I'm halfway done with life. And I'm just getting started. And you know, I looked at verse 7 here of Psalm 37. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And so we started taking those steps. And the Lord started taking care of things. And I'm sure in 10 years, there'll be different things, you know. And we'll feel the same way we felt when we started this journey 6 months ago. But I'm smarter now because I realize that if you will, He will. And if you won't, He can't. He's not going to force Himself on you. I also learned something else. You know, this called and sent business, I think I've talked about this before out here when we were still out here, is kind of a hoot. I don't feel called of God or qualified of God, to be real honest with you. But it says some 50, I think it's 54 times in the book of John, it said that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He sent Him. And the only thing is that Jesus Christ never said no. Will you go? Yes. Will you put up with these people? Yes. Will you minister like I ask you to? Yes. You know? Will you go to the cross of Calvary? Yes. Okay, qualified. And if you look at the life of Paul, look at that. Look it up sometime. Paul doesn't say called to be an apostle until he's been apostle for a while. He didn't realize. You know, his first move for yes was, go to a street called Straight, and it will be shown unto thee what thou must do. Just go. Will you go? Yes. Okay, that's a start. So here we are. We're really just getting started. But the Lord paid off our house. He paid to move our household goods. He gave me a pastor that would help me and not slam me. He gave me a brethren here that, we were just so excited to come back to First Bible Church, Staten Island. Excited. And my wife, the most excited of them all, the one that was living her dream, is the most excited of the five of us, I think, tonight. Because she's waiting for her husband, will you or won't you? You know? You just sitting around here spewing your stuff about, you know, how good the Lord is, and I watch you pray, and I watch you preach to us, and will you or won't you? What kind of a man are you? You want to spew your mouth, or are you one that goes out there and does something, you know? You know that verse about, let us not love and word neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's the one. That's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Qualified? No, but he'll help me. I'm sure he'll help me. Willing? Yes. Yeah. We're willing. Worried? No. No. When the house sold, I said, you know, Lord, I'm not going to worry about anything anymore. If you can sell this house, you can do anything. Now, you say, well, what's the big deal about selling a house? When you're looking at bringing a mortgage and a family out, and you just left a job that my job filled 3 days after I put my resignation in, my job was already filled. So there was no going back. We were coming one way or another, and the Lord made sure that we couldn't back out of it. Amen. The Thursday before the Friday, the Lord took care of the last things we needed to be able to sell the house and get out of there. And believe you me, we sweated some bullets over that one. You know, worked 22 years for good credit and watch it all go down the toilet because we thought the Lord wanted us to go to Pennsylvania, but He didn't leave us high and dry like that. His reputation's on the line too. And watch Him turn my wife's heart from the place she wanted to be to the place that He wanted her to be. And it works. And by way of encouragement, and certainly don't stand up here as any expert, because this is the first time that we have done this. We got saved in 1992. It's really the first time we've ever been asked to step out on faith. But I can tell you that the Lord is able.
Amen.
I can tell you that He is able. I'll wax on, and I think that's all the Lord wanted us to say.
Glory.
Yeah, glorious ray. Oh, you're going
to
need this.
We talk about just wanting to see a work of God, and I think you're seeing it. You're seeing a work of the Spirit of God. We didn't know how that was going to turn out in the Poconos when Brother Wayne made it clear to us that he needed to leave, and Sandy's health was deteriorating, and the environment up there, the weather in the Poconos was just detrimental to all of that, and we weren't really sure what was going to happen. And nobody can take credit for any of this, just the Lord. The Lord put this together. Thank the Lord for it. Isn't this amazing? To me, I'm just amazed at it. I am just amazed at the Lord and how He took care of this. So thank you, brother, for that. Thank you for being willing and saying yes. Praise the Lord for that. Isaiah the prophet had that opportunity, you know. The Lord said to him, whom shall we send? Right? Who will go for us? And Isaiah the prophet wasn't actually sent. He just heard God speaking about a need, and who are we going to get for this? And Isaiah volunteered. He said, I'll go. Here am I, send me, I'll go. And then the Lord sent him. So I wonder how many other works are going to go undone. You know, maybe churches... I'll tell you a little blessing that came out of this. I got 2 minutes. The weekend that Bobby Bowman went up to the Poconos to fill in and preach, I got an email from somebody a couple of days later, a visitor that was in the service that Sunday, Norman King. Does that name ring a bell? A man named Norman King and his wife were in the service that Sunday when Bobby preached, and he emailed me a few days later, and he said... are you guys the church that started the church in the Poconos? He said, is this the right church? And he said, I just want to let you know, I was up there. There was a fireman preaching. He didn't remember his name. There was a fireman preaching. We were visiting. He lives in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I don't know how far away that is, but I think it's an hour or something, an hour and a half away. He says, we cannot find a church in Allentown. And we've been looking around, driving around, going to different places, and we came up to the Poconos occasionally, and they knew Wayne. They had been there several times. and they liked the church, liked the preaching, liked the spirit. They were coming from an independent Baptist background where everything's like kind of militant, you know, kind of everybody's got to toe the line, everybody's got to do this, measure up certain, you know, standards and blah, blah, blah. And he told me in his email, he said, wow, he says, the church in the Poconos was just such a refreshing change. The teaching was great. The firemen that came up there and spoke was such a blessing. We got a blessing out of the message. And he says, do you guys do this? Do you start churches like this? So I emailed him back and I said, well, you know, I'll talk to you about it. You know, so 2 days ago he called me and we finally spoke about it. And he said in the Allentown area he has 4 or 5 families that meet at his house occasionally for Bible study, but they can't find a church. So he said, would you guys be willing to send somebody out to where we are and start a church? So I says, well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I have anybody willing or anybody ready. I said, we got a Bible Institute, but it's certainly got to be, you know, the Lord's got to do it. But we could pray about it. And so him and his wife are going to be visiting us after the holidays. They're going to come out here. They want to see the work here. And so they're, you know, there are lots of areas like Colorado Springs where there's just a hunger, where people are looking for something, and there aren't good churches, aren't Bible-believing churches. So I don't know. Maybe there's another work on the horizon here, something else that the Lord would have us to do. I don't know, but pray about that. Well, we're gonna be dismissed, but just keep this brother in your prayers and Elise and the church up there. I think there are some exciting times ahead for that church up there. Wasn't this good tonight?
Yeah.
That was it. This no notes. I mean, I asked them this afternoon. I said, would you just come up and share a few things? I got a blessing out of that, brother. We got preached to tonight. I was convicted. It's a good message, good testimony, and I'm just thankful. I'm glad I know a Savior that can do these things. A blessing. I'm glad I know the God that can do this sort of thing. So pray for the family. If you want to have a part in a love offering for them, you can do that anytime, tonight, Sunday. We'll get it together here soon and get it to them, but we want to be a help to them. Obviously, we don't want to wait to the end of the month with this, but let's do something soon. Be a part of it. We want to give them something to just help them get settled and work with here at the beginning, and just keep them in your prayers, okay? All right, that's it. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed. Our dear Father, Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are, Lord, how you work and move in people's lives. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony tonight. Some of those details I didn't even know. And I'm so thankful, Lord, to hear how you put these things together in a way that no one could really boast or take credit in anything. It was just the hand of God. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for what you're doing. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help Dan and Elise and the children as they get settled into their home in Pennsylvania and get settled into the work and the ministry that is before him. Help him with this, Lord. And help us as a church, Lord, that we would have whatever part you would want us to have in this, Lord. Whatever we may be able to do, Lord. There are many, many needs, but Lord, this is one you've put before us, and let us be a blessing. Help us to be a blessing in whatever way we can be, Lord. Thank you for our brother. Thank you for giving him the grace to say yes, and I pray you'll use him now, guide his steps, and help him, enable him, Lord, to be the pastor that church needs. And we're thankful, Lord, that we could be a part of this. Thank you for each one that's here tonight, Lord. We pray as we go from this place, Lord, that you just get home, get everybody home safely. May you help us throughout this week to be a testimony wherever we have an opportunity. The other activities that are going on this week, Lord, the mission, the work in Manhattan, the ladies' fellowship, the nursing home, the public preaching, and all of those things, Lord, may we just count it a privilege, Lord, that we could be a part of that. We're not doing you any favors. Lord, you've just blessed us to allow us to labor together with you, and thank you for the privilege. And just get the glory and the honor out of these things, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you wanted to give anything tonight, we'll just leave a basket back there somewhere. I don't know if there's an empty basket, if one of the deacons would just stick it on the counter.